That takes back to Sommerfeld's theoretical physics here, right here in Munich. I mean, Sommerfeld seems to be not only brilliant physicist but also an admirable person. He was had his he opposed the Nazi very strongly and so on, and was got into trouble with them and this kind of thing. And so he is a very remarkable. He was in many respects a most remarkable person, and has been a focus, so to speak, for circuit theory. If one wants to find one focus that from Berg as well as through our school here,
that's
you can trace it to Sommerfeld. And anyhow, but I was talking about Gilman, so he was they had a discussion, I think a panel discussion or something like this, in which Gilman took, I don't remember exactly how it was, so I should be careful. Anyhow, the question was put, it's printed in one of his books on the Brooklyn Symposia. What is the reason why in America they did not use this method and why they had used it here in Germany, this advanced method? Gilman gave a reason that it was due to Kauer's book. See, Kauer had written a famous book on these modern methods at the time, modern methods of circuit design, circuit theory, and circuit synthesis, in German, of course, but only relatively few copies had been available because it got destroyed. I mean, it got bombed. So only a few copies had been distributed. And then it was, I think, reprinted again, was destroyed, and so on. The second volume, the manuscript got burned due to bombings, and so on. So it has never been really available, and so on. And then it was, was printed in America. But I think shortly after the war, as you may know, they printed quite a few books, particular German books that were public interest.
Right.
They copied in America and printed them. The copy I had at the time is an American printed copy in German. The text is in German, but it's printed by Edwards Brothers in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Mm.
And anyhow, it's so Gilman's theory was that this Kauer book was so important. There was no equivalent book in English available, and that was the reason, that was he gave as a reason, but this reason is wrong. I would definitely say it's not correct, because I have, Milevich has been very much involved in this kind of things, and of course most of the historic information I have from Milevich. By the way, if ever you have a chance to talk to Milevich, you should probably try, but we talk about this later. And the real reason is a different one. The most critical filters are the so-called channel filters in carrier telephone equipment. And these filters, in the American way, were built as crystal filters, so quartz crystals, because to get the high Qs, so the high quality and so on, quality factors, you needed the stability, so the frequency stability, you practically had to have these crystal filters. And that's what was the technology of Bell Labs, was based on crystal filters. So was the technology of the SDC in London, in England. They were based on crystal filter technology. But crystal, at the time, there was no synthetic crystals yet. There was long before they had synthetic crystals like they do today. So the crystals had to come from natural crystals. And for filter crystals, it's different than oscillator crystals. You needed larger, at the time they were much larger crystals, so they were, I don't know, they were maybe about 2 inches long, maybe half an inch wide, and then a thin, millimeter thin or something thick, I don't know exactly. Anyhow, relatively large size crystals for a good part. And so they had to come from a natural crystal that was much larger again than this crystal itself. And there was only practically one supplier of that type of natural crystal in the world, and was Brazil, as far as I know. So all these crystals came from Brazil worldwide. But during the war, the Germans or the continent was cut off from the crystal market. And therefore, they had to find a different way to get around this kind of thing. And in order to get this, they used a different way of modulating. So they had a pre-stage in the modulation where they could work, have the main filtering at a lower frequency, not go to frequencies like the Americans did from so 12 channels in the range 60 to 108 kilohertz, but they used the lower range at first only from 4 to 8 kilohertz, later from 12 to 24 kilohertz and so on, so 3 channels in the range 12 to 24. But anyhow, that I think that's that came after the war, but during the war they had, I don't know exactly, but I think it was the 4 to 8 kilohertz during the war. And then, so as a pre-filtering, then went up to higher frequencies. But the critical frequency filtering was done at a low frequency range to get the stability sufficient and so on. And also the relative bandwidth is then the lowest, because then you don't need as high quality factors. I don't know how familiar you are with these kind of things. So then the losses in the inductors is the main problem. And the smaller the relative range is, that is the bandwidth divided by the center frequency, that is the relative bandwidth. So the smaller the relative bandwidth is, the more difficult it is to get the same quality. It's really the quality factor multiplied, so the, which is the ratio, you may know, the inductance, no, the reactance value divided by the resistance of the coil. Anyhow, what really counts is the quality factor multiplied by the relative frequency, by the relative bandwidth. That is the critical point. Anyhow, so they tried to get to a lower frequency range to simplify drastically the filter design problem. And then the other side is to get the maximum out of what you possibly could do from inductors and capacitors. And that's why they used these advanced design methods.